Did you know I'm utterly insane?
Because the whole world gone crazy!
Yeah, you want to see crazy? I'll tell you.
Have you gone mad?
Most everyone's mad here.
Welcome back, everybody, in the Milkshakes Markets Madness fam. This is the Milkshakes Markets Madness show. This is my friend Brent Johnson, the man behind the dollar milkshake theory. If you're wondering to yourself what the heck is that, as we all were at one time or another, please visit the website milkshakespod.com, and there's more information there. You can also go to a nifty little playlist we have for you called Start Here, which is at the top of our YouTube channel, which is found using the handle at milkshakespod. But here we are recording what is somewhat of a new segment, but now starting to find its legs. This is the Madness segment. And when we first started this channel, we thought this would be a major part, a keystone to the whole thing. We found ourselves going more down the road of the markets, mainly because that's what was connecting with everybody. Brent and I finally decided, you know what, this is part of who we are and the thing we enjoy talking about the most anyways. So we've brought it back in its own segment, the Madness Edition. Brent, what kind of madness is driving you mad so far this week?
Oh, God, where do you start? You just look outside your window and there's so much madness going on. You know, the thing that I saw today, my wife actually sent it to me. So, you know, I think a lot of people know we used to live in San Francisco. We lived there. You know, she grew up there. I lived there for 20 years and we moved a couple of years ago, but we still, you know, obviously keep in touch with our friends and kind of what's going on in the city. And so she forwarded me this article today about this pickleball controversy. And I have to say, you know, I know that pickleball exists, but I'd never really played it. But last week when I was in St. Bart's at Hugh's place, he has a pickleball court and we played pickleball. And, you know, I'm going to raise my hand and say, I won. I beat you. And as soon as I beat him, I stopped playing.
Like,
I'm never going to play again. And I'm going to, you know, retire undefeated. But no, it was a really lot of fun, and I can understand why people like it. Okay. So now let's fast forward back to this article that my wife sent me. Basically, there's a part of San Francisco called Presidio Heights, which is probably one of the nicest neighborhoods in the entire United States of America and maybe the world, right? Huge mansions, you know, clean streets, you know, very pristine and, you know, very nice. And right next to it is a big park, you know, and next to that, and in that park, there's, you know, playground for kids and soccer fields and tennis courts. Well, apparently the tennis courts have been overtaken by pickleball players. And so now all the people that live along this street that borders there's a golf course right there. The people that live along this street near these pickleball courts, it's driving them crazy because it's this plink, 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 you know, all day long from this. Yeah. You know, apparently this is driving them crazy. So this lady who lives right this. You know, this is such a Karen move. It's unbelievable. So this lady who lives right there, she files a lawsuit or something to get pickleball banned until they can study the environmental impact of the noise is causing to not only the residents' way of life, but the wildlife in the area. And so, okay, so that in itself is pretty funny. But then when people started looking, well, who is this lady? And she's got like a $30 million house for sale right next to the, you know.
Of course.
Not only that, but get this. This is so good. Guess what she has in her backyard? Not in the park, but in her backyard.
A pickleball court.
Oh my God. So it's just, you know, again, it's just out of touch, rich, white lady in San Francisco, you know. I mean, God, it's just, anyway, it's maddening. So anyway, look, that's top of mind for me right now.
Yeah, I have no love for pickleball. I'm not going to get into all the reasons why, but I'm here in Florida visiting family, and it is everywhere here, and it's really silly. There was a really good TikToker Instagram video recently where this guy does this whole skit on how he's giving pickleball instructions, and it's the whole thing is basically a satire piece, but I think the video is titled like Pickleball for people who are too poor and unathletic to play tennis. So God.
Well, no, what's funny is it's really funny. So I played it last week, right? And I thought it was really fun. And then I get home and I see that damn meme, right? And it's like, of course, and I'm 50 years old and, you know, wish I was as good an athlete as I used to be. And so I was like, hey, I kind of feel attacked by this meme.
But I love it because it's exactly true. It's exactly what I want to say to these people. But the other thing about pickleball too, and it's funny, my brother was sharing this investment that someone else brought to him, and it was like this whole VIP pickleball experience club type thing. And to me, it just feels like the sports version of Crocs. And I have to chuckle because Crocs.
That's so perfect. Because, you know, I don't allow people to wear Crocs in my house. Like, they're banned. I hate Crocs. I'm a shoe connoisseur, and the Crocs are not real shoes, and nobody should wear them.
Well, good thing I'm barefoot most of the time anyway. But the funny thing with Crocs too is I love the backstory of the movie Idiocracy. How that at the time Crocs was just, it was just released. It was kind of this like new startup idea. And so they put everyone in Crocs kind of thinking it would be this joke because the shoes kind of are a joke. And then, you know, kind of had its like first original like moment in the spotlight right before it went bankrupt or disappeared for a short period of time. But now Crocs are back and people are putting like little like tokens on them. It's so ridiculous. This is unfortunate. I feel like we're going through the initial Crocs phase of pickleball, and I feel like it's just going to disappear. And then when I'm like 75 and I'm in my like 55 and older community, it's going to have this massive resurgence and haunt me all over again.
Well, I think I even heard that like injuries are way up in people 50 and over because of this pickle.
Yeah. Dude, these are people who've barely put on tennis shoes in 20 years. And they're trying to like chase balls on hard ground. I mean, anyway, okay.
Hey, man, be nice again. You're talking about me here, man. Relax a little bit.
I'm sorry. We're boomer bashing. So the other thing that's funny about this Madness edition, at least this particular one, is normally whenever we're recording videos, it's in the afternoon. This one just happens to be in the evening. I'm enjoying a nice scotch to kind of go with it, so it adds a little bit to the madness. It doesn't change my attitude about pickleball at all. That was in existence before the whiskey. But one of the things I'd like to, you know, put in your lap to talk about, which is maybe not as silly as pickleball, but it's definitely as maddening, is what is going on in Capitol Hill, specifically with these people who shouldn't be in office, let alone playing pickleball. Mitch McConnell, so, people aren't picking up the reference.
Well, so it's happened to him a couple of times, but it's also happened to Dianne Feinstein, you know, I don't know how many times. And Biden isn't exactly the most, you know, with it person in the world. And you just look at it. Politics is disappointing anyway, right? And then you look and you think, this is what we have to deal with. Like, these are the people, like, making the decisions. And the thing is, these aren't the people making this. The people behind these people are now probably making the decisions, you know? McConnell's the easiest one to pick on because it's happened to him most publicly. But like I said, you know, it's happened to Biden a few times. It's happened to Feinstein a few times. But, you know, these people have the ability to vote. You know, I said this earlier on Twitter. These people have the ability to decide whether or not to send our sons and daughters overseas to shoot at people they don't even know. And, you know, they couldn't even pass a test to get a driver's license.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, one of the things that is really, really hard to stomach is really the point you just made about clearly, especially in the case of Biden, the president, but in all of these Congress people who've been in there for so long, they're just dinosaurs. They're clearly not making any real decisions. And, you know, the fault lies on us. You know, we're the ones who go to the voting booth and put these people back in. But you know, one of the things that's interesting, I think this is a good segue so we don't get caught too much in politics, but a good segue into markets is this got me thinking a little bit about the fourth turning, not that specifically, but the idea that you have this sea change, you have a whole new generation that's coming in that's going to have the majority when it comes, they're going to be the constituents. And they're hopefully, what I was thinking about is hopefully they vote in term limits. Certainly they're going to vote these people out and there's going to be a younger crop of politicians that come in. But hopefully part of that, we've seen the error of our ways in a lot of things, the way we manage monetary policy and certainly the way, you know, we conduct government. So hopefully there's a sea change in that as well.
That would be the silver lining to the madness.
So speaking of markets, speaking of fourth turnings, we this week shared a clip from about a week ago where we had talked about a number of things, obviously, but one of the focal points was some of the stuff going on in China specific to the real estate market. And it's funny because last week, I guess you could say we had the apex of every hope and dream for somebody was wishing for BRICS currency to take over the world, kind of come to a heightened point and then come crashing down. And so we shared this video about China, and it seems like now anything related to China is the trigger word because we had quite the engagement and quite a lot of, you know, the lack of pragmatism sometimes in these conversations is wild. What are some of the experiences you're having post-BRICS summit and certainly part of the overall dollar milkshake theory, but, you know, coming off of that recent event?
Well, the two things that stand out the most that has happened over the last week is, number one, as it relates to now BRICS being over and, you know, them not launching a new currency and the dollar not being dead yet, was that I do not talk enough about the very last chapter of the milkshake theory when the dollar does fall and it does, you know, lose its reserve status, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I just had to laugh because, you know, despite all the evidence that the dollar is not yet ready to die, people just can't let it go. And, I kind of understand it, but they are looking for every angle to tear apart my thesis that the dollar is going to be the last fiat standing. And I've made it as clear as I possibly can that the dollar is a horrible currency. And I can show you a number of interviews, a number of tweets, a number of presentations where I have very clearly stated that this is a horrible currency. It's a horrible system. It's going to end very badly, and that includes badly for the United States. It's just not ready to happen yet, in my opinion. But now they were up, they were upset that I don't spend enough time talking about the very, very end game where the dollar does die. And part of the reason is I just don't think we're there yet. And I don't think we're going to be there for another couple to possibly several years. So I don't see the point in talking too heavily about it. So I think that is pretty funny. But the other reason I don't is there's plenty of other people talking about that every day. I don't know why you need to come to me for that part of it. If you think the dollar is going to die, there's plenty of material out there. What is there to say? You know, you buy gold. And then when the dollar's really high, you go around and buy cheap assets everywhere else. I'm not sure what else to say other than don't do it right now because I just don't think we're there yet. So I found that to be kind of funny. The other one that was kind of funny, you'll get a kick out of this one too. It relates to the China because we talked about China last week. And somebody sent me a DM saying something like, you know, this has been talked about forever and it still hasn't happened. You know, what are you going to do when the dollar dies? And I thought, think about the irony of that statement. People have been talking about the dollar dying for literally 50 years. Like, for 50 years. And just last year, it was at a, 30-year high. But the China thesis has taken a long time to play out. And they're mad because I'm still talking about China. When I actually just started laughing out loud, it wasn't even maddening. It was just, that's the entertainment part of this whole thing for me, because like when people cannot see the lack of self awareness, it was just amazing. And I was just like, okay, yeah, my thesis has taken a long time to play out. Fair enough.
Yeah. And I'll jump on that a little bit with you because I think doing this channel, I get more of a front row seat now with you, seeing the comments come in. paying a little bit more attention to what type of Twitter engagements you're having. And I think the thing that has been maddening for me is it does not matter how grounded of a conversation you have. And it doesn't really matter how many times that you remind people that we're not predicting the future and we're not pretending to be able to do that. A lot of what you say on this show, specific to the dollar milkshake theory and all of this banter of what could happen, is that, well, number one, you're playing a game of probabilities. And this is based on, you know, things that historically have happened. Hegemonies don't like to give up power. This isn't going to happen without a fight. It just, I think, again, really just simple, grounded arguments. And it's almost maddening to other people that you aren't coming down to their level and just kind of having this pissing match and saying, no, I'm right, you're wrong, the dollar's going to live forever. And so look, along the way, when we do these shows, and anyone who's never experienced being in front of a camera with a microphone in front of them, trying to articulate their thoughts, I encourage you to go do that with your cell phone in front of the bathroom mirror and see how silly you sound. So when we're having these conversations, you know, we're staying within the lanes, but every once in a while, maybe a word or vocabulary term or how we put it in context in our conversation will be slightly off. Don't lose your mind over this, and don't suddenly try to take that as don't try to weaponize that to dunk on either one of us, when really we're all here to learn. And when it comes to these types of things, you know, hats off to Brent. He's thought through this and done the work where he's been able to conceptualize a monetary system in a phenomenal thesis and story, the dollar milkshake theory, that's helped all of us learn more about it. But we want to have engagement and conversation. We don't want to sit here and battle you about dogmas that we don't actually have. So maybe that's the whiskey putting me on the soapbox, but that's definitely, you know, definitely something I feel like people miss. Yeah, one last thing I'll add to that, because again, this is this lack of self-awareness. People have self-chosen these horse blinders that fit for them. And you were in St. Bart's, you were a guest, you were part of the panel, the expert panel. It was Jeff Snyder, George Gammon was with you, you know, Hugh was there. And I noticed that various, whether it was tweets or, you know, videos, comments based on the conversations that we're having, that you guys were having during that time, there's just these little pokes people like to make, like, oh, George said this, or Hugh did this, and what happened to his hedge fund, and these guys are always wrong. And it's really, like, again, this past, the last Madness episode we did, the quote was in the arena, but it is, you know, Chamath is definitely out of his mind, but again, people not being in the arena, having conviction on anything, it's really easy to try to throw shade on somebody. But that's really not even my point. The bigger point is people will point out, you know, maybe someone had a trade recommendation, and this doesn't mean you go all in on it. And maybe that trade recommendation doesn't go well, and suddenly they're automatically calling them out as charlatans, or they don't know anything about anything. Meanwhile, they will follow Peter Schiff into the grave for 20 years about owning gold and nothing but gold. So again, have some self-awareness. Think about, you know, kind of to both sides of the story when you're picking your battles.
Yeah, you know, the other thing I'd say, I would encourage, if, you know, next year, come to the conference. It was a lot of fun. And what the people that came to the conference found out is, you know, we were all just hanging out together for like 3 days. Do you think we all just talked about our successes? No, we talked about all the stupid mistakes we've made. We talked about the times where we just wanted to pull our hair out because we got things so wrong, you know, and that's what the real truth is, right? Is that when you're hanging out with other really smart people, you're not just listening to their victories. You go hang out with them because you get to hear about the war stories, and you understand, you hear about the scar tissue. And I mean, listen, at the end of the day, Hugh lives on one of the most incredible pieces of property I have ever seen in my life. It was incredible. So he must have done something right along the way to even have the opportunity to do that. And the fact that he was willing to share and open it up to other people, you know, not everybody does that. So I take my hat off to him. You know, I'm the first to say that Hugh's a little crazy. I would say that if he was here, you know, and he's not for everybody. But, you know, if you don't judge a book by its cover and you look a little deeper, you can find some really interesting stuff. And it was, you know, and the interesting stuff comes when they're talking about their failures, not their victories. So anyway.
Yeah.
Wow, this turned into a soapbox episode.
It did. And I'm not done. I'm going to step right back up one more time because there's two other things I'd like to add to that. One is, which I thought was really funny. Someone commented on one of our episodes that they used to think you were a bit of a jerk on Twitter, and they're really glad that you're doing the show because they now realize that you're not, right? That there's they couldn't grasp the context in just the tweet, but now, you know, with the personality behind it, they can. And that's a big part of, you know, when you can get yourself to I don't want to say a conference, but when you have the opportunity to be part of a event that's more or less like a fireside chat, it's a round table, the ticket prices are going to be higher, but the benefit of that is going to be huge. It's how Brent and I met at one of those type of small events in Cayman Islands. Now, the other thing I'll add too is keep in mind, and this is almost a wasted breath because it's the internet, but also keep in mind, you know, what is your mission? Are you just angry and you want to project at it on somebody? Fine. But if your goal is actually to gain respect or engage with somebody and get something from it, learn something from it, or get your point across, put it in the context of if you were sitting in Hugh's living room with 10 other people and you were having a conversation with Brent or Jeff Snyder or even Hugh himself or whoever it is, you wouldn't go at them the way that you're going at people in the comment section. And look, some people are just haters and angry and whatever. Go have your fun. But I think there's a lot of people who just don't know how to frame their approach the right way. And so think about yourself being in the living room, you know, shouting and yelling and being hyperbolic in the comments. Nothing's going to be gained from that. So imagine yourself being in the room with the person and having, you know, sipping a good scotch. You know, how would you start that conversation? Because what we really want from this channel is the community, is the engagement. You'll see we're constantly in the comment section. I mean, I don't know what Brent does during the day besides Twitter. So clearly we're here to engage. And
neither does my wife. Neither does my wife.
Well, look, on that note, I think we're all out of madness for now, but we know you're going to keep bringing it to us, and we know so is the world. So we look forward to doing this segment in about a week. We will be doing our full-length episode here in about a day, a peek at the week for the Monday, which is a holiday, but we're still going to release it on that day. And we actually have an exciting new segment coming. I'm not going to tell anyone about this. I am so fired up for this. It took a little bit of a twist of the arm, but Brent agreed. So stay tuned. I'll start sharing some information on that on Twitter. Brent, thanks, man. We appreciate you. Have a happy weekend, and hopefully you can keep the madness to a minimum.
Sounds good. We'll talk to you soon.
This show is provided for entertainment and informational purposes only. It should not be relied upon as legal, business, investment, or tax advice. Neither the hosts, guests, nor any funds they may manage intends to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies.